Assalamu alaikum and welcome to today's program. Before we start off the program today, I would like to invite up Brother Muntazir to start us off with the recitation of the Holy Quran. So let's invite Brother Muntazir with a loud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa
ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, I'll be reciting verses 94 to the end of Surah Al-Kahf. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا يا ذا القرنين إن يأجوج ومأجوج مفسدون في الأرض فهل نجعل لك خرجا على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم سدا قال ما مكنني فيه ربي خير فعينوني بقوة أجعل بينكم وبينهم ردما آتوني زبر الحديد حتى إذا ساوى بين الصدفين قال انفخوا حتى إذا جعله نارا قال آتوني أفرغ عليه قطرا فما استطاعوا أن يظهروه وما استطاعوا له نقبا قال هذا رحمة من ربي فإذا جاء وعد ربي جعله دكاء وكان وعد ربي حقا وتركنا بعضهم يومئذ يموج في بعض ونفخ في الصور فجمعناهم جمعا وأردنا جهنم يومئذ للكافرين عرضا الذين كانت أعينهم في غطاء عن ذكري وكانوا لا يستطيعون سمعا أفحسب الذين كفروا أن يتخذوا عبادي من دوني أولياء إنا أعتدنا جهنم للكافرين نزلا قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه فحبطت أعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا ذلك جزاؤهم جهنم بما كفروا واتخذوا آياتي ورسلي هزوا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها حولا قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Jazakallah, Brother Muntazir, for that beautiful recitation from Surah Kahf. As you all know, we have gathered here, albeit virtually, to commemorate all of our shaheed. Achieving shahadat, while it may appear to be simple as dying in the way of Allah's cause cannot be achieved by anyone. It takes a soul that has been tried and tested. This person has to be deserving and chosen by Allah for this special honor. This is what makes Shaheed so special. But when we hear the likes of a Qasim Soleimani or Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, we must ponder, how did these personalities achieve their ultimate goal? What did they do in their life that made them deserving of this great, great honor? In the words of our leader, revolutionary actions are not achieved with words. They are achieved with deeds. Our actions should lead us ahead of our tongues. Those who are active in these areas are truly doing revolutionary work. While the life of Haj Qasim Soleimani features many stories of revolutionary acts, at some point today, I would like to read a story about Haj Qasim that shows the character of his personality. But before that, first up, I would like to introduce Sister Gulizara, who will be reciting a spoken word. So let's invite Sister Gulizara with a loud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
True love by Abu Bilal. True love begins when nothing is looked for in compensation. True love begins when one ceases to put themselves before the object of their alleged affection. True love begins when the splendor and grandeur of their true beloved is a clear perception. True love begins when one's soul and lofty spiritual realm are in complete association. True love begins when one's worship to its beloved is seeking neither desire of heaven nor fear of hell as their motivation. When one has given the self away in Allah's way, true love reaches its ultimate culmination. When ISIS terrorists misused Islam with their version full of distortion, and like a virus, it spreads, infecting twisted people with their potion, they wrought a tide of violation, mutilation, execution, and destruction. O Commander of Heart, you dare them not only to confrontation, but humiliation and ultimate annihilation. In return, your body was shredded to pieces and reduced to fragmentation. You followed Master of Martyrs, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in completion. You thrived and you flourished under Imam Khomeini's jurisdiction. You took great pride working under Rehber Khamenei's administration. And so, your prayer to achieve martyrdom, just like Imam Hussein alayhi salam, came to fruition by giving the self away in Allah's way. Greatest testimony of love was in manifestation through your self-sacrifice. Love, nobility, humanity, integrity, morality, dependability, creativity, quality, and dignity, all virtues came in clear exposition. No amount of colorful words, nor even intent, can result in expressing our appreciation. You die to live forever, and we live to die for our extinction. My hopeless darkness and your heavenly light show no connection. And in death, if I wish to see your heavenly light, in life, I must learn to die like you for my own redemption. Thank you.
When ISIS terrorists misused Islam with their version full of distortion, and like a virus, it spreads, infecting twisted persons with their portion. They wrought a tide of violation, mutilation, execution, and destruction. O Commander of Heart, you dare them not only of confrontation, but humiliation and ultimate annihilation. You followed the master of martyr, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in completion. Every year, we commemorate the tragedy of Karbala and renew our vows to our Imam. The life and death of Hajj Soleimani truly shows us what it truly means to renew our vow to the Imam. Jazakallah, Sister Gulazara, for that very beautiful recitation. Next up, we'll be showing you two video clips. The first clip is from a speech by Zainab Soleimani, who is the daughter of Hajj Qasim Soleimani. And the second clip is from our beloved leader, Ayatollah Khamenei.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من غزا نهبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا سلام مولای من سلام آقا جان پدر ما برای اطاعت از شما که ولی فقیه ما مسیح ما را تربیت کرده است مولایم پدرم افتخارش این بود که سرباز شماست. او جانش را فدا کرد تا سرباز شایسته شما باشد. پدرم بیش از 40 سال در کشتی آشورا و با چراغ ولایت در تلاشی خستگی ناپذیر با شوق شهادت در نبرد با دشمنان اسلام و انسانیت شجاعانه پیکار کرد. به اطاعت از ولایت را شرط ایمان می دانست. حاج قاسم بزرگترین مرد راه بردی در محاسبه قدرت و رفتار دشمن بود. در جنگ ها و نبرد ها عشق شهادت او را به نزدیکترین خط مبارزه با دشمن ترغیب می کرد. ایمان او به خدا دشمن را در دید او به ناچیزی در مقابل قدرت خدا تبدیل کرد. پدرم خواب راحت را از چشم تمام ستمگران، مستبدان و تکفیری ها رو بوده بود. اسم حاج قاسم سلیمانی آشیانه صهیونیسم تکفیر و نظام سلفه را همینک هم می لرزاند. آمریکا باید بداند که آشورا منشأ قدرت مجاهدین و آزادی خواهان و موجب وحشت دشمنان اسلام و انسانیت است. شاگردان مکتب خمینی و خامنه ای در کلاس درس جهاد و اخلاص سلیمانی تربیت شده اند و تا زنده اند شاگردان دیگری را تربیت و موجب رعب و وحشت مضاعف سلطه‌گران و تکفیریان خواهند بود. آمریکا و صهیونیسم بدانند شهادت پدرم موجب بیداری بیشتر فطرت انسانها در جبهه مقاومت شده و روزگار آنها را تیره و تار و خانه های عنکبوتی آنها را فرو خواهد ریخت. جهانیان استقبال گرم مردم عراق و ایران را در تشییع جنازه حاج قاسم و مجاهد بزرگ ابو مهدی نظاره کردند. به قول پدرم آقای ترامپ قمارباز، ترامپ تدبیر شیطانی تو در جدایی و تفرقه میان دو ملت ایران و عراق با خطای استراتژیک تو خاک به خون خون کشیدن دو مجاهد بزرگ موجب اختلاط خون مجاهدان بزرگ ابو مهدی و حاج قاسم که موجب پیوند تاریخی بین دو ملت ایران و عراق شد و تنفر جاودانه آنها را علیه آمریکا برانگیخت. پارلمان عراق خروج آمریکا را از عراق کلید زد. خانواده های سربازان آمریکایی در غرب آسیا که شاهد ذلت آمریکا در نبردهای سوریه، عراق و لبنان و افغانستان و یمن و فلسطین بودند، در انتظار مرگ فرزندانشان روزهایشان را سپری خواهند کرد. آه! 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 آه!
ترامپ دیوانه که خود نماد جهل و بازیچه دست صهیونیسمی. خیال نکن با شهادت پدرم همه چیز تمام شد. رهبرم پدرم دو پدری داشت که در کنارش بود، در کنارش ایستاد و ما هم همانند پدرم در کنارش خواهیم ماند. امروز سلیمانی های مقاومت پیام دادند. عموی عزیزم سید حسن نصرالله پیام خود را داد. اسماعیل هنیه، زیاد نخاله، بشار اسد، ابو حسن عامری و عبدالملک حوثی که هر کدام به تنهایی چون پدرم برای نابودی امثال تو کفایت می کنند پیامشان را خواهند داد. همه ستمگران عالم بدانند پدرم در قلب ملت ایران و امت مقاومت و آزادی خواهان جهان جای دارد. در پایان با تجدید پیمان مجدد با رهبر عزیزمان قول می دهم من به همه فرزندان پدرم با خاطرات و مهربانی های پدرم که همواره زنده است و نزد خداوند روزی می خورد زندگی می کنیم و بغض و کینه خودمان و فرزندانمان را با دستور ولایت علیه ظالمان تا ابد حفظ خواهیم کرد. السلام علیکم و رحمت الله.
اولا شهید سلیمانی هم شجاع بود هم با تدبیر بود، صرف شجاعت نبود. بعضی ها شجاعت دارن اما تدبیر و عقل لازم برای به کار بردن این شجاعت رو ندارن. بعضی ها اهل تدبیرن اما اهل اقدام و عمل نیستن، دل و جگر کار رو ندارن. این شهید عزیز ما هم دل و جگر داشت، به دهان خطر می رفت و ابا نداشت، نه فقط در این حوادث این روزها، در دوران دفاع مقدس هم در فرماندهی لشکر سارالله همینجور بود، خودش و لشکرش. هم با تدبیر بود، فکر می کرد، تدبیر می کرد، منطق داشت برای کارهاش. این شجاعت و تدبیر توأمان فقط در میدان نظامی هم نبود، در میدان سیاست هم همینجور بود. بنده بارها به دوستانی که در عرصه سیاسی فعالن این رو میگفتم، رفتار او رو، کارهای او رو. در عرصه سیاست هم شجاع بود هم با تدبیر بود، سخنش اثرگذار بود، قانع کننده بود، تأثیرگذار بود. از همه اینها بالاتر اخلاص او بود. با اخلاص این ابزار شجاعت و ابزار تدبیر رو برای خدا خرج میکرد، اهل تظاهر و ریا و اینا نبود. اخلاص خیلی مهم. تمرین کنیم ماها در خودمون اخلاص را. هم یک خصوصیت دیگر این بود که هم یک فرمانده جنگاور مسلط بر عرصه نظامی بود، هم در این حال به شدت مراقب حدود شرعی بود. در میدان جنگ گاهی افراد حدود الهی رو زیر پا فراموش میکنن، میگن وقتی این حرفا نیست، اونه اون مراقب بود. اونجایی که نباید سلاح به کار برسه سلاح به کار نمی برد، مراقب بود که به کسی تعدی نشه، ظلم نشه. احتیاط هایی میکرد که معمولا در عرصه نظامی خیلی ها اونا رو لازم نمیدونن این احتیاط ها رو، او احتیاط میکرد. به دهان خطر میرفت اما جان دیگران رو حفظ میکرد تا میتوانست مراقب جان نزدیکانش، اطرافیانش، سربازانش، همکارانش در ملت‌های دیگر که بودن در کنار او، مراقب جان اینها بود.
Our first speaker will be Dr. Masood Shadnam, who is an associate professor of organizational behavior at the University of Nottingham in China. He has several publications on morality and ethics, analyzing how social life in and out of organizations is full of moral choices. Beside his academic role, he is a frequent speaker at Islamic centers and interfaith events, as well as an avid contributor to grassroots movements for justice and peace. With that, please welcome Dr. Masood Shadnam with a loud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. And welcome to this session of anniversary about Shahid Soleimani and Shahid Abu Muhandis and their companions. And before I start, I just wanted to send my condolences, my sincere condolences on the martyrdom of Lady Fatima, which would be today. And I'm sure many of us are already participating in the events in that regard. But this event that we have today is about the first anniversary of the martyrdom of Shahid Soleimani, General, Major General Soleimani. So I'm going to split my talk, which is going to be about 20 minutes, into two main parts. So the main part, I talk about this great martyr of us, which is General Soleimani. And the next part would be about the one of the consequences of that event. All right, so let's start with the martyrdom. And as we know from most of the other martyrdom anniversaries or events that we celebrate and commemorate, we know that martyrdom always has two faces. We have one face, which is about the murderers, the criminals who actually perpetrated and committed a crime by killing some people. And the other side of that is the side of the martyr or martyrs of that event. So there are a white page or a white face to that and a dark face or black face to any event of martyrdom. When we look at our commemoration of Ashura, we see the same thing. We commemorate the Fatimiyya in the same way. And we can look at the event of the martyrdom of General Soleimani and his companions in the same manner too. So there is a dark side to that, because there were perpetrators, there were criminals who actually committed this crime. And there are also the people who were blessed with this event, become martyrs in God's name. Now let's start with what exactly happened on this date, on January 3rd, 2020. And it happened in the early hours of morning. It happened at 12:45 a.m. And what really happened was that a drone, which was a MQ-9 Reaper drone from one of the U.S. military bases in Iraq, flew over the Baghdad International Airport. And then the drone was waiting for some people. And those people were General Soleimani, who came in Baghdad on the formal invitation of the Prime Minister of Iraq, He was doing the travel with very visibly without, it was not a hidden mission. He was traveling with civilian airliners. He was traveling with diplomatic passports. So it was very clear. It was very, there was nothing hidden about that. So he was received by some people in the Iraqi, in the Baghdad airport. And those people were also Iraqi state actors. So Abu Mohandes was actually part of the Iraqi military, the formal military of Iraq. So he was received by them and some of their companions. And they boarded two civilian cars. There were 10 people in total. And they actually drove off to go to Baghdad city. And it was right beside the airport that they were hit by this drone. And the result of this attack, this targeted assassination, was that all the 10 people on board these two cars were killed. They were murdered on scene. So this is the actual physical thing that happened on the ground. Now, if we look at what was behind the scenes, who ordered that and why they ordered that, we see that President Trump mentioned that it was my direct order to actually carry out this assassination. And the main target, as declared by himself and all the others, was Iranian Major General Qasem Soleimani. Now, so these are the things that are not controversial, that it was the main target was General Soleimani, and because they wanted to target this person, they wanted to neutralize him, they actually carried out this mission and 10 people were killed. So we can look at it from different angles after this point. We can see that, okay, there was one target, but they actually murdered 10 people because of that one target. We can look at it from the perspective of who was this target person. And here we have kind of a battle of narratives. So on one side, we have President Trump and his team of other criminals in White House saying that, okay, General Soleimani was a threat to American interests. He was a terrorist leader. And he's quoted as saying that General Soleimani has killed or badly wounded thousands of Americans over an extended period of time and was planning to kill many more, but he was caught. So that's the perspective of those American politician criminals. On the other side of that, we see in the funeral of General Soleimani and his companions, both in Iraq and in Iran, millions of people, literally around 10 million people, actually attended those funerals. And they were hailed as the leader of the most effective force against terrorists. They were the people who actually saved millions of people from the threat of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other Western-backed terrorists in the region. And we see that all the people in the region, people who actually know them, and they were living with them, and they were living as a result of their sacrifices, they actually commemorated them in large numbers, in unprecedented numbers. We had funerals being held in Gaza, in Syria, in Yemen, in all the other parts of the region. Now we can decide for ourselves which one of these narratives we want to believe. And most of us, I imagine, would not prefer to believe the words of President Trump and his criminal team. We can see that even the officials who could not articulate their position very clearly because their hands are tied. Many of them actually came out in support of General Soleimani. So, for example, the Iraqi Prime Minister, he mentioned that this assassination was a breach of the conditions for the presence of U.S. forces in Iraq. And the people in the Iraqi parliament, they voted that Americans should leave our country. And not only Americans, but American-led forces in Iraq should leave the country. But we can see over the past year that Americans have not respected the wish of Iraqi people, although they were kind of telling everyone that we went into Iraq because we wanted to bring democracy into that country. We toppled Saddam Hussein because we wanted them to be free and all that. But we see that they do not even respect the very basic thing that democratic institutions in that country are demanding. All right, so that's one point here. We also see other politicians. We also see United Nations Human Rights Council, one of their special rapporteurs, came out and say that this was an unprecedented event. This is the first known incident in which a state invoked self-defense as a justification for an attack against a state actor in the territory of another state. So there were three countries involved. United States has nothing to do in Iraq, let alone carrying out an attack. And then saying that we were defending ourselves, we were defending our own people there. This is unprecedented on so many levels. And she also adds that no evidence has been provided that General Soleimani specifically was planning an imminent attack against U.S. interests, particularly in Iraq, for which immediate action was necessary and would have been justified. So she kind of concludes by saying that the course of action taken by the U.S. was unlawful. So even if we just want to rely on international law, this was an unlawful act, this was illegal act, and this was actually a state terrorism, plain and clear, although many people don't want to use that term, but it was state terrorism. It was an act of terrorism perpetrated by the United States of America. So that's the part about the criminal part of this story. That's the part about the dark face of this martyrdom. Now let's take a brief look at the bright side of that, on the side of the heroes of this story. And we know General Soleimani, we know Abu Mohandas, and we actually came to know them more and more after the martyrdom. People came out and told their tales about them, about their life, about their way of life, their way of being. And so we have come to know them more and more over the past year. And even in the clips that was shown in this event, we see his daughter saying some things about him. We saw our leader, Imam Khamenei, describing him using some adjectives. I wanted to specify two things that I kind of want to stress and emphasize in terms of the lessons that we can learn from his life and from his legacy. One of them was his ikhlas. And you've heard that many times, I'm sure, from Imam Khamenei and also from other people who were the companions of our Shahid Soleimani, that he was a person in who you could actually see the meaning of ikhlas. You could see the meaning of sincerity and purity towards God. This was clear even in his own testimony. So General Soleimani, in one of these speeches, he actually mentioned that since the time that I first began my journey by joining the forces against Saddam Hussein in Iraq war. So it was like 40 years ago. Since that time, I actually made a promise to myself that I should be completely mukhlis, completely sincere, doing everything just for the sake of Allah. So that was him. That was his own testimony about himself. And then you could see that in all of his deeds, in all of his behaviors and conduct, even in the battleground. There was one of the stories about him is that when he was head of one of the forces inside Iran, battling the people who were actually drug traffickers and doing all these types of evil deeds, he managed to capture one of the master criminals of these drug trafficking bands. And then Imam Khamenei told him that it was not correct what you did. You captured this man by using a tactic that is not allowed in Islam. So General Soleimani immediately released that man, and it created a lot of trouble for him, but he did that, and he managed to again capture him using other tactics that are actually completely Islamic. So he was devoted that whatever I do, I should make sure that this is Islamic. Even if this creates a lot of trouble for myself and my forces, it has to be by the way that Allah actually wants us to do our conduct in that way. So that one point is about his ikhlas, and we can try to actually take a lesson from that for our own lives. The other point, which is kind of more practical, is that he had continuous connection with ulama, with Islamic scholars, including Imam Khamenei, including Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, and including others. And that is a very important point that we see in the life and legacy of many other martyrs as well. We see that many of the renowned martyrs, like Shahid Fakhrizadeh, like Shahid Ahmadi Roshan, like Shahid Sayyad Shirazi, many of them, they were committed participants in the meetings and sessions and talks that were delivered by ulama. They were usually committed participants in the weekly lectures by some specific ulama, because without that connection, any person in the way of Allah would become lost. You need a teacher. You need someone who tell you what is right and wrong, what are the things that Allah want from us. And it's not a once and for all thing. It's not that you say that, okay, I became a Muslim and became a Mujahid, and then that's it. I'm going to go and do the things that I should do. It's something that has to be flowing in your life on a regular basis. Otherwise, you will be vulnerable to a lot of traps that Satan would put on our way. So that's an important thing. It's like being a mujahid and being a mu'min means that we have to take it like washing our hands. It's not a once and for all thing. We have to do it every day, multiple times, right? So in the same way, we have to keep our beliefs, keep our exposure to Islamic teachings very alive, very fresh, every week by attending those seminars and talks by our respected ulama. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons that we have our ahadith that Midadul ulama is afdalu min dima' shuhada. So the pen of our ulama is actually worthier than the blood of martyrs, because by that pen of ulama, many martyrs will be able to become martyrs. So we see that again in the life and legacy of Shahid Soleimani as well. All right, so that was my first topic, very briefly, about General Soleimani and two of the lessons that we can learn from him. Of course, there are many more lessons as well, and I'm sure many of you would find them by yourself. The second topic is that if you remember, after the martyrdom of Sardar Soleimani, 3 days after that, there was a revenge mission, in a sense, by the Islamic forces. So they actually hit one of the American bases in Iraq with several missiles. And it hit them hard. But one of the things that happened on the side of this mission was that by mistake, they actually hit the Ukrainian passenger airliner. And this tragedy resulted in 270 people, civilian people being killed. And that was really a very sad moment for all of us. It was a very sad moment for, of course, their families who lost their loved ones in this incident. And it was also a very sad moment because this incident became a point of propaganda in the hands of our enemies. So if you have been following the news of that in United States, in Canada, in other countries, our enemies made sure that they used this incident to the best of their abilities to actually say that, well, Iranian people, they were so evil, Iranian forces, they just shut down a passenger airline. And of course, I have all the sympathies and condolences for the families of these people who lost their lives in this tragedy. But no one actually accused of Iran that this incident was intentional. And of course, Iranian generals, they came out and they apologized and they explained how this incident happened, and it was really a mistake and a very bad mistake. And we should take a lesson from that and make sure that no such incident can happen again in the future. And we all remember the very humbling scene where the commander of our air defense, the Iranian air defense, came on Iranian national TV and he apologized and said that the moment that I heard the news of this error, I sincerely wished my own death from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this was not something that we wished to happen. We wanted to all of us to die before something like that happened. So he sincerely apologized, and the manner of actually explaining that to people and making sure that all the people who have been involved in this mistake, this was a long procedure taking up to this point. But one of the things that I want to mention about this incident is that in military terms, this is called a friendly fire. It means that a mistake, you mistakenly hit and kill your own people. And it's a mistake, but it happens in almost every battle, in almost every war, we have the incidents of friendly fire. You can trace back the history of these kind of things even to the beginning of Islam, to the time of the Prophet himself. And one of the things that I want to mention is a couple of examples from that time, because we are going to take lessons from that for our future, for ourselves, and to see, well, first of all, these things happen even on the watch of our Prophet. And secondly, we have to make sure that it doesn't happen. We have to make sure that we do our best to prevent it from happening in the future. The first incident is what is called the Sariya Abdullah ibn Jahsh. This was one of the first missions after our Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina. So he actually, our Prophet, organized a few people, send them out on a military mission somewhere. And the head of that team was Abdullah ibn Jahsh. So this team went out of Medina, and they were actually stationed on the outskirts of Mecca. And by the way, this was before any of those major wars like Badr and Khandaq and Uhud. This was before all of them. This was one of the very first military missions in Islam. And that military team sent by Prophet Muhammad, they actually made a mistake. They attacked some people, they killed some of them, and when they came back to Medina, Prophet told them that it was a mistake. It was in the month of Rajab, one of the haram months in Islam, and you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have attacked them. So it was a mistake. And interestingly, this was the first time that an arrow was shot by a Muslim to kill a non-believer. And that first arrow was actually shot by mistake. So, actually, Prophet blamed them for that. But then after a few days, there was a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and God actually forgave those people because of their mistake. And Prophet also forgave them, and the qana'im was distributed among people, etc., etc. But Prophet also mentioned that you shouldn't make such mistakes in the future. But you can see even the first things that happened in Islam was by mistake. We had other incidents like that as well. In one of the battles in which Prophet himself was present, in one of the Ghazawat, there was a member of the Islamic army who actually went out in the beginning of the battle to have a fight with another person from the army of the disbelievers. And then this man was a very courageous man. He raised his sword and he hit so hard, but his sword actually didn't hit the man in front of him. His sword came down and he actually, by mistake, he injured himself on the knee. So the sword came down on his own knee and he became very badly injured. And after a few hours, he actually died because of that injury. So this was kind of a moment of embarrassment for Muslims, because he sent out this man to fight the enemy and he injured himself, and then he died because of his own injury, right? So you can imagine many of the Muslims there were actually blaming this person and saying that, yeah, you were kind of a shame for us, you embarrassed us. And even after he died, he came to the Prophet and he asked the Prophet, is this man considered even a martyr? Because in a sense, he killed himself, right? And the Prophet mentioned that he is considered a martyr, because it was not that he intentionally killed himself. He was trying to kill the enemy, but by mistake, his sword came down on his own knee. And he actually mentioned that he has the reward of two martyrs instead of one. Maybe because he was blamed and he was told all those things by other Muslims, maybe because he was himself embarrassed and ashamed of what he did. But he has, on the eyes of God, he had the reward of two martyrs. So these are just two examples of the kind of incidents that are friendly fires that are killing our own people or killing ourselves by mistake, unintentionally. But of course, we should take lesson from these incidents and make sure that we don't do that. We don't do that in the future, or to minimize the risk of these types of incidents. All right, so that's about the incident of the downing of the Ukrainian airliner. Now, to conclude my talk, the last point, I'm going to tie this topic and this incident, both of them, this martyrdom, to Imam of our time, to Imam Mahdi, Ajjala Allah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. We know that he will come, and we hope that time is soon. And we know that when he comes, and when his government is established, this government would be a global government. We know that everywhere in the world, people will be under his flag. We still may have the boundaries of countries. Those countries may be provinces in the global government of Imam Mahdi. We will have, perhaps, we will see Islamic democracies in these different provinces or countries, as we tell them these days. So we may have at some point Islamic Republic of America, Islamic Republic of Canada, and all of them as provinces in the global government of Imam Mahdi. And in that time, we see that all of us need to work together. Some parts of the governance would come from Allah, some parts would come democratically, like Quran tells us, Amruhum Shura Bainahum. So the example of Islamic Republic of Iran would be an example for all the provinces in the governance system of Imam Mahdi. And we can see a glimpse of that time, perhaps, in the way that General Soleimani kind of governed and managed his own forces. The forces of resistance that General Soleimani managed and commanded were from at least 8 different nationalities. So they were people with different beliefs, with different traditions, and all of them, they were working together hand in hand on the command of General Soleimani. And I'm sure many of the commanders in the system, in the governance, and in the military of Imam Mahdi would be of the same caliber. And we need to take lessons from the example of General Soleimani in terms of how we should work together with ikhlas and with continuous connection with the teachings of Islam. These days that Imam Mahdi is hidden from our eyes, we need to take that from our ulama, and we need to take that seriously as the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make sure that we flow that in our life, in our deeds, in our actions, and also in our talk. So I hope and I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us that kind of ikhlas and that kind of courage by which we can take the example of Sardar Soleimani. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, Brother Shadnam, for that lecture. There is indeed a dark and light side to the tragic events of January 20th. While this was a blessing for the Shaheed, it showed us the underbelly of the criminal state and what democracy means to them. One thing I personally learned from the lecture, and I would like to reiterate this for myself, is about having a close connection with the ulama. Having this will provide us with a system of accountability and act as a shield against the whispering of the shaitan. At this point in the program, I would like to request all of us to recite Surah Fatiha for the victims of the Ukrainian plane crash and for Marhum Mukhtar Huda, who is the son of Shafiq Huda and Sabira Jafar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Surat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim. Walad-dallin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يقل له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يقل له كفوا أحد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Next up, I would like to introduce Brother Asif Raza, who will be reciting a spoken word. So let's welcome Brother Asif Raza with a loud salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The title of my poem is His Word Was As Sharp As His Sword. This is based on the events of Uhud around the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Brother Masood said in his lecture. There are many examples from the life of the Prophet that we can learn, and I felt that this is a good message to give in commemorating the Shaheeds. The Kuffar of Quraysh used to tremble as they heard the name of Hamza, the Prophet's uncle. He was a warrior and to the Prophet a loyal aide in every ebb, flow, and difficult stage. His word was as sharp as his sword, his faith strong in his mighty Lord. He was a strong shoulder for this deen, with passion of love on its extreme. As the battle raged around the mountain of Uhud, the call to victory was raised for the battle of Uhud. The Muslim archers abandoned their positions to stand ground. They had made to the Prophet a commitment. Behind the mountain stood an enemy still waiting for this opportunity to kill. They went around and surrounded the Muslims instantly. Surprised at this move was the Muslim infantry. Many fled, but some of them fought. Hamza was one of them, never seen fraught. He charged like a warrior that he was, committed to the prophetic mission and his cause. A plan to kill Hamza was hatched. Hinda's oath for revenge and a secret pact. Abu Jahl's slave acted on this roadmap. The coward's way is to always secretly trap. Behind Hamza, like a coward, an arrow he struck. Hamza fell on the ground as the coward killer ducked. His slogan was raised, retreat, Hamza is dead. Oh, Hind, rejoice, gift this washi from your spread. Hind descended on the body like a vulture, cutting his nose and ears, reflecting her culture, cutting through like a dog and chewing his liver. Such malice and thirst, and her heart was so bitter. These stories are not just for repeat. In it, there are lessons for us to teach. If you abandon your positions, Hamza will be killed. Your commitment matters, not just your worldly skills. In Baghdad, a missile killed Hamza again. Hinda, the liver chewer of the kuffar, rejoiced again. A coward of the past and the coward of today. The malice of before and the malice of today. But Hamza had broken the back of their Hayat army, the ones from Abu Sufyan's clan, the terrorist army. Their black banners were covered in dust. Their so-called caliphate was a bust. We owe our faith and its centers to these men. If you can't fight, then pick up your pen. if you spend your life just collecting this worldly booty, the army behind Uhud awaits your negligence of duty. Purge the hypocrites from your ranks, form a position with a pious flank, uproot the occupier from your region, together with this godly legion. Those who are killed for his cause are not dead. They receive sustenance in Al-Amran, he said. Our sustenance share is the hope for our sovereignty. Bowing to no oppressive authority, freedom itself is not for free. Blood, sweat, and tears are its guarantee. Many pure souls have left their bodies to achieve what this liberty embodies. Revenge of the master of martyrs was Makkah's liberation. Revenge of master of martyrs was Makkah's liberation. Muslims stood together as a united foundation. Revenge for the master of hearts will be Al-Quds' liberation. Freedom for every land under occupation. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Subhanallah, if you spend your life just collecting booty, the army behind Uhud awaits your negligence of duty. This line from this beautiful poem strikes near and dear to my heart. Sometimes I find myself lost in this circular world of repetitions. So let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq to never neglect our Islamic duties, no matter how mundane they may be. If we neglect our duties today, they may be taken from us tomorrow, and that will be a great loss. Our next and last speaker is our respected Maulana Zaki Bakri. He is so well known, he needs no introduction. But I have the task, and so for formality's sake, let me begin by saying, I grew up in front of him, and he is my mentor and spiritual guide. Furthermore, he is a founding member and resident alim of CIG since 1984. He has been instrumental in providing spiritual leadership and guidance to the Shia community in the GTA since 1979. Maulana hails originally from Alipur, Karnataka in India. He has written several books and course curriculum from learning Quran to questions about predestiny and free will. His official website is www.albayan14.com. He travels extensively throughout the world giving speeches, conducting seminars and workshops on social issues facing the Muslim youth today in the light of Islam, Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. With that, please welcome Maulana Zaki Bakri with a loud salawat. Allah. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties. While we get that all sorted out, in the meantime, I will be reading for you a true story that happened to a Shaheed's son in Tehran. The story goes like this. The boy was ready for marriage. He and his mother went to the girl's house to give them a marriage proposal. The girl's father asked, "Where is your dad?" The boy lowered his gaze and after a few seconds of silence, with eyes full of tears, replied, "He became Shaheed in Syria." There was a deafening silence in the room. The future father-in-law said, "What about any other family member, your uncle, or any other relative, perhaps?" The boy said, "All of our relatives are in Afghanistan. We have no one in this city." Being a sincere and religious person, the bride's father allowed the boy and the girl to talk and make their decision. The parents, while hesitant, agreed for the marriage at the insistence of their daughter. They fixed a date for the official proposal ceremony, where they would invite all of the family members to decide on the wedding celebration, the dowry, and set up the mehr terms and conditions. 1 month later, the night before the appointed day, the first thing the boy looked at on coming home was his father's photograph next to the mirror. He remembered the words of his father-in-law, and with hesitation, forgiving his daughter to someone whose father was not alive. He burst into tears and, talking to his father, said, "Dad, I am your only son. How could you leave me like this? At least you could have waited for your only son to marry and then gone for martyrdom." He fell asleep out of exhaustion with teary eyes. He suddenly saw his father saying, "My son, don't complain. I may not have been with you physically, but have always been there. Do not worry about tomorrow. Your proposal ceremony will be historical. I am going to send someone to surprise your in-laws and make you proud of being the son of a shaheed. I promise you, my boy." The boy woke up with his pillow filled with tears, and the clock was showing 3:35 a.m. He immediately got out a paper and wrote whatever he saw in his dream, signed and recorded the date and time, and then sealed the envelope with sellotape and placed it in his suit pocket. He was very confident and shared the dream with his mother. The next day, at the proposal ceremony, all the guests started entering one by one. The groom and his mother were feeling isolated and lonely as the house began filling with the bride's relatives, but no one from the groom's side. The father-in-law-to-be approached the groom and said, "I wish you had invited some of your friends," when the phone interrupted their conversation. It was a private call with no name. As he did not want to show any disrespect to the father of the bride, he passed the telephone on to his mother. A man was asking for their address. The groom took the phone and asked the identity of the caller. The man said, "Don't worry, just give me your address. You will recognize me when you see me." The boy remembered his dream of the night before and humbly replied and asked the bride's father to give him directions. On disconnecting the phone, the bride's father commented the voice sounded oddly familiar. They rushed to the door, and in a few minutes, a 405 Pigout arrived and three bodyguards got out of the car, and then the main passenger disembarked. It was Haj Qasim Soleimani. He embraced the groom as a father would a son. The bride's father was a member of the Revolutionary Guards and welcomed the general with teary eyes. The street was suddenly agog with people as the news got around that General Soleimani was the groom's uncle. Haj Qasim entered the house and participated in the ceremony as the groom's uncle. He negotiated the dower and did whatever a loving dad would do for a son, and gifted the bride and the groom a gold coin each. On his way out of the house, the groom took out the sealed envelope out of his pocket and gave it to Haj Qasim. He wanted to read it later, but he insisted that he should read it there. He opened the letter and read about the dream. He burst into tears and held the groom's hand and took him aside and said, "I also had that dream of your father last night, saying that tomorrow is my son's proposal ceremony. He has nobody in the city. Please play my role in this ceremony and he gave me your phone number in my dream. But my son, promise me, do not share the story with anyone until I am alive." He gave him a ring and left the ceremony, which was the most splendid ceremony ever seen in that family. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And with that, I would like to introduce Maulana Zaki Bakri with a loud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. It appears that Maulana is having some technical difficulties, so we're just going to give him a minute or two to reconnect, inshallah. In the meantime, we'll play a video clip.
اولا شهید سلیمانی هم شجاع بود هم با تدبیر بود، صرف شجاعت نبود. بعضی ها شجاعت دارن اما تدبیر و عقل لازم برای به کار بردن این شجاعت رو ندارن. بعضی ها اهل تدبیرن اما اهل اقدام و عمل نیستن، دل و جگر کار رو ندارن. این شهید عزیز ما هم دل و جگر داشت، به دهان خطر میرفت و ابا نداشت، نه فقط در این حوادث این روزها، در دوران دفاع مقدس هم در فرماندهی لشکر سارالله هم اینجور بود، خودش و لشکرش هم با تدبیر بود، فکر میکرد، تدبیر میکرد، منطق داشت برای کارهاش. این شجاعت و تدبیر توأمان فقط در میدان نظامی هم نبود، در میدان سیاست هم همینجور بود. بنده بارها به دوستانی که در عرصه سیاسی فعالن این رو میگفتم، رفتار او رو، کارهای او رو در عرصه سیاست هم شجاع بود هم با تدبیر بود، سخنش اثرگذار بود، قانع کننده بود، تأثیرگذار بود. از همه اینها بالاتر اخلاص او بود، با اخلاص این ابزار شجاعت و ابزار تدبیر رو برای خدا خرج میکرد، اهل تظاهر و ریا و اینا نبود. اخلاص خیلی مهم. تمرین کنیم ماها در خودمون اخلاص را. هم یک خصوصیت دیگر این بود که هم یک فرمانده جنگاور مسلط بر عرصه نظامی بود، هم در این حال به شدت مراقب و حدود شرعی بود. در میدان جنگ گاهی افراد حدود الهی رو فراموش میکنن، میگن وقتی این حرفا نیست، او نه، او مراقب بود. اونجایی که نباید سلاح به کار برست، سلاح به کار نمی برد، مراقب بود که به کسی تعدی نشه، ظلم نشه. احتیاط‌هایی میکرد که معمولا در عرصه نظامی خیلی ها اونا رو لازم نمیدونن، این احتیاط ها رو او احتیاط میکرد. به دهان خطر میرفت اما جان دیگران رو حفظ میکرد تا میتوانست، مراقب جان نزدیکانش، اطرافیانش، سربازانش، همکارانش در ملت‌های دیگر که بودند در کنار او، مراقب جان اینها بود.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. من المؤمنین رجال و صدق و ما عاهد الله علی فمنهم من قضا نهبه و من هم من ینتظر و ما بدلو تبدیلا. سلام مولای من، سلام آقا جان، پدر ما برای اطاعت از شما که ولی فقیه ما مسیح ما را.
Okay, so it seems like Maulana Zaki Bakri was able to reconnect. So inshallah, let's invite Maulana Zaki Bakri with a loud salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Yeah. Can you hear me all?
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ufawadu amri ila Allah, inna allaha basirun bil ibad. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah ama an'ama wa lahu ash-shukr ala ma alhama was salatu was salam ala jami'il anbiya'i wal mursalin siyama khatimihim wa ashrafihim sayyidina wa tabib nufusina maulana abul qasim muhammad Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin la siyama baqiyatillah fil aradain sahib al-asr wa zaman khalifat ar-rahman imam al-insi wal-jan alladhi biyumnihi ruzq al-wara wa bihi tabatat al-ardu was-sama Allahumma ajjil farajahu al-sharif. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina wa akhta'na. Rabbana wala tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wala tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. Wa'fu anna waghfir lana warhamna. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين أما بعد فقد قال الله وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون I begin in the name of Allah, the gracious, the merciful. I extend my heartfelt condolences on this day. Today is 3rd of Jamadil Akhir, day of martyrdom of Bibi Fatima Zahra Salawatullah Salamu Alaiha. It's a beautiful time to commemorate the day of General Qasim Soleimani and Abu Mahdi Muhandis. To our beloved Mawla Imam Zamana Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, to his rightful deputies, those who are serving Islam selflessly in the world, and to our Maraji and Rahibaram Adam, to all of you those who are watching. Alhamdulillah, many things have been said. Exclusively, Brother Shahadman has enlightened us very beautifully. I'll going to focus on few of the characteristics of General Qasim Soleimani. Before I begin, I should ask this question. Anyone can ask this question. Why should we commemorate Qasim Soleimani, who was an Iranian, and Abu Mahdi Muhandis, he was an Iraqi? What is the relationship between us and them? This taboo has to be broken. This idol has to be broken, and we have to understand the sense of responsibility. Islam believes no borders. Islam believes no colors. And Islam is so important for all humanity. It is not a religion of Muslims. It is the religion of humanity, because Quran says, Hudal Linnas, a book of guidance for entire humankind. Having said that, any part of the world, anything happens which is not just, which is cruel, which is injustice, open barbaric act, it is our responsibility to react. Otherwise, we become under the لَعْنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِعَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ May Allah curse those who see and hear the atrocities in the world and they do not react positively. They are also under the people, those who are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't want to be. The relationship between justice and humanity is eternal relationship. Nobody can break this relationship. And that's the reason the hadith, famous hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, my last son, whose name shall be my name, whose title shall be my title, and he shall yamla'u al-arda qistan wa adla ba'dama muli'at dhulma wa jawra. He shall fill the earth with justice and equity. Yeah, this is a unique hadith. It is not saying he shall fill the earth with Islam and Iman. Yamla'u al-arda islaman wa imana ba'dama muli'at kufra wa nifaqa. No, it's not the hadith. He shall fill the earth with justice and equity. And this is for our younger generation. When we talk about religion, people say, I'm not interested. It is something personal. And I don't believe in religion. I'm an atheist, etc. But when we talk about justice, always it is fresh. It gives us the insight to react. The problem of today is lack of justice. And fighting against the tyranny and oppression is duty of not only Muslims, all humankind, those who are alive. And this point has to be noted exclusive for our youths, and they have to understand this clearly. Never say the relationship between me and Africa. No. Sheikh Zakzaki, the problem of Sheikh Zakzaki, Ayatollah Sheikh Zakzaki, is ours. The problem of poverty of Gaza and misery of Palestine is our problem. The problem which is going through by the unarmed civilian in Yemen is our problem. We have to feel the pain and agony what they are feeling. Having said that, today it's so beautiful to relate to ourselves on the martyrdom day of Bibi Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaihi wasallam to General Qasim Soleimani and Abu Mahdi Mohandes. May Allah exalt their souls with Shuhada of Karbala. In fact, they are. I don't have any doubt in it. I want to relate to myself with this incident, historical, painful, what happened to Bibi Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, after burying his beloved wife, and he feels that pain, and he turns his face towards the grave of beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, As-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah, anni man ibnatikil nazila fi jawarik. My salutation and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayk. Blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. My salutation to you from myself and from your daughter who just arriving to you. And he goes further. The sentence which is related today, I hope all of us we learn from this sentence. Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ruhi wa arwahuna lahu al-fida. Allahi afdalu salatu wa salam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah. We shall return back to Allah. Falaqad isturji'at al-wadi'ah. Just now, the amanat, a trust which you have given to me, has been returned to you. and he goes this sentence. Even their tragedies are lessons for humanity. I always say Karbala is not only a place of Karbala. It's a dasturul amal. It's a complete constitution of behavior for humanity. Mawlana Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he says this sentence, and I remember this, never forget this. Sannat satunabbi'uka ibnatik. Very soon, your daughter shall relate to you what happened here, what is happening here. All of us know, before the Mazar the first defender of Wilayat of Mawla Amir al-Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. The one who defended with her totality, total being. And to extend Imam Ali says, the severity of her presence, the brave presence of her, what it is. Imam Ali says now by saying, Bittadafire ummateka. Very beautiful. I wish all of us we relate Arabic. This in Nahjul Balagha, I'm not talking about somewhere else. No, it is a very authentic source. بتدافير أمتك تدافير من تجامع total ummah were united total ummah were united على حزمها to remove Fatima Zahra صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ponder upon this tonight, you relax on your bed, ponder upon this entire ummah united to eliminate Fatima Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayha. This shows the presence of Fatima Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayha for the falsehood was a threat. And this sentence of Mawla Amir al-Mumineen, it should be written in a golden words and it should stay for entire until the last moment of this life of this world. And we have to relate to Quran. Who was Hazrat Ibrahim? Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanita. Who was Ibrahim? Ibrahim was not alone. He was a ummah. He was a total ummah. Why? The planet worshipper, the worshippers, human worshippers, idol worshippers at that time, everyone they said, harrequhu, burn him alive. Position of Hazrat Ibrahim, oh my God, so beautiful. He was fighting with all the groups who were polytheists. There were three groups, those who believed in idols as God, human being as God, just like Namrud was God at the time, and planets were God, and he fought against all of these people, those who were believing God. Other than God. He says, Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ardh. I'm turning my face towards the upright religion, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he challenged all three groups. I hope you are with me. One, planet worshippers, he challenged. He has given them logical answers. Number two, idol worshippers, by breaking their idols, he challenged them. If they were God, fanteku, ask them, talk to them, if they can reply. They had no answer to the logic of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then he fought with whom? Namrud. He says, Rabbi alladhi yati shamsa bil mashriq fa'ta biha in kuntam. My Lord brings the sun from the east. If you are a God, bring it over. فبحت الذي كفر. Brothers and sisters, fighting with the wrong ideology is our duty. Today, these ideologies are in different names. Maybe you call them communism, you maybe call them socialism, maybe you call them the capitalism, all isms. And someone has to have, someone is to be there who is breaking the idols of today. That ideology is Islam. Unfortunately, 59 Muslim countries, they are failing to address the problem. They think Quran is 1400 years before revealed. It is not up to date. Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Thus, all the rules of Islam has to be shut, put aside. And we see the result. They are in the laps of Zionism. When Quran clearly says, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. Don't you dare do this. You don't make them as a signing authority. You are guardian. And the only country who stood for against these all ideologies, idol breaker of the time, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. And then the same tune has been carried by his successor, may Allah prolong his life, Rahbar al-Azam Ayatollah Khamenei Hafadahullah. Now, whoever helps this cause, who is helping the cause of humanity, understand the severity. Who was General Qasim Soleimani? He was not a person from Iran. He was a general, not a general of Iran. No. He was representing an ideology which is ideology of Islam, universal ideology. And that's the reason reaction to this martyr was so severe. We have seen just now, Brother Shadman has described what has happened, the funerals all over the world. The reaction of those people, even though they were not believers, they were not Shias, they were not Muslims. Wrong is wrong, man, and you should not do this. And I was thinking, why this reaction of the world? That severity. I'm being a religious person. I should say, Qalbe Ruhe Alame Zaman, Imam Zaman, Ajallah. The heart of this soul, heart and soul of this time is Imam Zaman, Imam of the time. And if he is in pain, entire world has to be in pain. The reaction is not a reaction of a person. Reaction of the soul of the universe. Sulaiman, Qasim Soleimani, whose characteristics, if we start talking about today, it's a very tough choice. Unfortunately, I don't have time, but I'm going to give you some of the highlighting characteristic of General Soleimani. For number one, ikhlas, as Shadman has described. Ikhlas is sincerity, total sincere. How? By dame, dirame, sukhane. By character, total mukhlis. And number two, ta'abbud wa ubudiyya. Ta'abbud, being a servant of Allah subhanahu. Always obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of these kind of programs, I said it clearly, the challenge of today, not the puppets of the time, they have to go one day, just like Mr. Trump has to go, because he was a top puppet. He himself is the part of that system. And these type of people has to go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown the humility and disgrace of this person because you challenge the soul of the universe. That's Imam Zaman. It is because hadith we have, man khaf Allah, akhaf Allah minhu kulla shay. It's a very beautiful piece of hadith. I hope all of us, we understand. Nolana, mera beta sunta nahi, meri wife sunti nahi. Usually my wife, my children, they are not listening to me. No. The remedy to this problem is you start listening to Allah. Everyone shall listen to you. Man khaf Allah, the one who is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts fear in each and everything of the universe. On the other hand, man ahabba Allah, whoever loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah put love of that person in each and every human. That is the miracle of ubudiyya, servanthood. The moment we become sincere servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reaction is there. It is not something in Jannah, no, in this world. It is not only just feeling, no. You will tangibly, you will going to see the results. Number three, his attachment to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, tamassuk. I remember actually I was watching today, researching one clip. He was very young man during the time war between Iraq and Iran. And this clip moved me so much. I was crying for a long time. One of the commemoration of martyrs, he was giving speech, maybe 6-7 minute speech. And he himself was moved, and also in that, he, as if the pain of Shuhada he was feeling, he said one thing which relates to today's. He says, hadith says, Mawla Amil Mumineen, Idha Ishtadda Al-Harb, whenever fighting was at its peak against enemy of humanity, we used to take security under the shadow of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Ali, Fatih Khaybar, brave soldier of Islam, soldier of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his bravery is well known to everyone. He says we used to go and take security under the shadow of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. General Sulaiman, he said, whenever war was at its peak and we could see the brothers are getting martyred, we used to seek the security of Bibi Fatima. And he narrates in stories. Name of Fatima Zahra, Salvatullah alayhi salam alayha, is to give us that courage and that shadow, that security. That shows tamassuk with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. As if we are attaching with a power which is much more stronger than ourselves. A power which is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tamassuk, that attachment with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed in entire life, never he showed any arrogance. Whenever he could go to the majlis, he used to go without any fear. The problem of security is etc. No. Number four, Wilayat Madari. This is the lesson we all of us we have to learn today. we are commemorating Qasim Soleimani means what we are commemorating? It's only to commemorate, have so beautiful wordings? No, we have to adapt what his legacy, one of his legacy is, be loyal to the Wali-e-Faqih, to the commander-in-chief of this world. No one is proclaiming. Fuqaha, mashallah, we respect all of them. No one is proclaiming this authority except one. And he was totally loyal to the Wilaya. And that we have to learn. We never should say, this is the I thing I should do. No, what is the command of the leader we have to follow? That leader, why we have to follow? We don't have any other choice. It's a port of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kalimatu la ilaha illallah hisni. Faman dakhala hisni amina min adhabi. It is a kalima of Allah. It's a port of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to enter. If we do not enter, we are going to left out only one, that is Taghut. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur walladhina kafaru awliyahum at-taghut yukhrijunahum min an-nuri ila dhulumati. Ulaika ashabun nari hum fiha khalidun. This is the lesson we have to learn. Always be loyal to the mission. We and all of us, we should be loyal to that ideology of us, true Islam, not those Islam which is sold out. Number four is the struggles. He was, and all our youth, those who are commemorating today, mashallah, the MC and also the reciters, the young chops, mashallah, may Allah prolong your life, may Allah give you strength. Our struggle should be in this part of the world, be smart by attaining the utmost scientific knowledge day and night. And Qasim Soleimani is the person who strives hard to attain that position. And he did. And he did reach to his goals. I have many things to say. And his PR, his public relationship, his simplicity. He used to go everywhere, at everywhere. World could not catch him. He took the pictures at the borders of occupied land. He was within minute. He was sometimes he's in Syria, sometimes as if he had that kind of wilaya to reach to everywhere. Very strong PR. And simplicity. He was so simple. And his jacket was, everyone has seen in his life, same jacket. Being at that position. Because he recalls, he remembers every time he is the commander of a nation which is Islamic, which is the following the path of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And he strives hard to reach to this goal of Shahada. We have many clips of him. He used to pray and he used to cry out, Allahumma arzuqna qatlan fi sabilek. Because this path, which elevates you so high, and the sound, the call of Allah will come to you. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya. Let's go back to the sentence of Imam Ali, then I'm closing. Imam Ali said, oh, Prophet of Allah, your daughter is coming. And this communication tells that world is there, man. that world which we are thinking is so far. No, it is there. After praying, he turns toward the Prophet. He says, O Prophet of Allah, Satunabbiukasa, very soon your daughter is going to relate to you what's happening to here in this world. That world is closer to this world. And he says, Tadafir ummatika ala hazmiha. Entire ummah was united to eliminate Fatima Zahra salawatullah salam alayha. Now that we know the position of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, like position of Hazrat Ibrahim, I have given example from the Quran. Now you understand the position of General Qasim Soleimani, General Abu Mahdi Mohandas. Their position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know elimination of him is elimination of entire ummah. In this blood, don't ever think they are only the hands of these people are involved. No. All Middle Eastern shuyukh, they were well aware what is going to happen. Tazafir, this sentence I always say, it's a guideline for all of us. It's a light, torchbearer. And this sentence applies to Imam Ali, to all Imam Masumin alayhi salatu wasalam. Entire ummah united to eliminate Imam Ali. Entire ummah united to eliminate Imam Hassan. Entire ummah united to eliminate Imam Hussain. Go on to Imam Zamana. Inshallah, Imam Zamana comes. He will be protected. He will going to bring the justice. Whoever represents the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spirit, and the world of batil knows that we have to eliminate. They forget. Eliminating personality, they cannot eliminate the ideology. That's the ayah which I recited at the beginning. يُرِيدُونَ لَيُطْفَوْ نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ. They want to extinguish the light of Allah. It's not charaq, it's not lamp. It's a noor of Allah with their bows. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمٌّ. Allah has promised, we will complete this noor. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. This is the good, this is the main message. Non-believers, they don't like it, but we're going to do it. It is going to happen. And this is the message today we have to learn. Our youths, our character, our behavior with our parents, with our family, and our behavior with the PR, with the community, with all human beings, general public of Canadians, they are very good. 1 or 2%. General public of Americans, they are good. The 1 or 2%, those who are enslaving these masses. And it is your and my duty to wake them up. What General Qasim Soleimani has done. The position of General Soleimani with Bibi Fatima Zahra, and today we are commemorating. It's so good relationship between these two personalities. Imam Ali says, she was not only one woman. She went against the tide of the time, my sisters. Don't ever go with the tide. If you want elevation, you have to go against the tide. And that is the message which has been given by General Soleimani. May Allah give us, guide us all. May Allah give us inspiration to attach ourselves to these personalities and to become closer to Imam Zamana, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Faraju Sharif. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, Maulana Bakri, for that lecture. If I can summarize the main point from your lecture today, is number one is the ikhlas of Haj Qasim Soleimani. And this importance of this has been emphasized by the leader and both of our esteemed speakers today. Point number two was that Haj Qasim was a true lover of Allah and a listener of Allah. And he was attached to the Ahlul Bayt. Our earlier speaker, Brother Shadman even mentioned the connection that we must have to the ulama of our time. And this is one of the ways that we can stay connected with the Ahlul Bayt. And the last point, Maulana, you mentioned, was the loyalty to the wilayat. Now, if I can wrap up the program today, I would like to invite Brother Sabir to recite the dua.
The loyalty to the wilayat. Now, if I can wrap up the program today, I would like to invite Brother Sabir to recite the dua. The wilayat. Now, if I can wrap up the program today, I would like to invite Brother Sabir
to recite the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين
صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا
السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين
السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين.
My condolences to Hazrat Baqiyatullah al-Azam Arwahuna lahul fida. مقام معظم رهبری آیت الله العظما سید علی خامنه ای آیات اعظام و علمای اسلام for the shahadat of Hazrat Fatima to Zahra Salamullah alayha. I would like to recite the dua Imam Zaman. Inshallah we recite together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma kun li waliyyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih fi hadhihi as-sa'ah wa fi kulli as-sa'ah ولیاً و حافظاً و قائداً و ناصراً و دلیلاً و عینا حتی تسکنه اردک توعا و تمتعه فیها طویلا. I would like to thank our respected مولانا باقری حفظه الله, our speaker for today, and our dear brother Dr. مسعود شادنام, our MC, our youth who participated. May Allah bless you all and all of our brothers and sisters who attended this program. May Allah bless you all. And inshallah, I would like to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the blessed our dear Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.